It was all pulsing with life and delight, and it was all one unbroken experience. To separate that wholeness, to see anything as outside itself, wasn't true. The foot was there, yet it wasn't a separate thing, and to call it a foot or an anything felt absurd. And the laughter kept pouring out of me. I saw that cockroach and foot are names for joy, that there are a thousand names for joy. And yet there is no name for what appears as real now. This was the birth of awareness. Thought reflecting back as itself, seeing itself as everything, surrounded by the vast ocean of its own laughter. Then it stood up, and that was amazing. There was no thinking, no plan. It just stood up and walked to the bathroom. It walked straight to the mirror, and it locked onto the eyes of its own reflection, and it understood. And that was even deeper than the delight it had known before, when it first opened its eyes. It fell in love with that being in the mirror. It was as if the woman and the awareness of the woman had permanently merged. There were only the eyes, and a sense of absolute vastness with no knowledge in it. It was as if she, had been shot through with electricity. It was like God giving itself life through the body of the woman, God so loving and bright, so vast. And yet she knew that it was herself. It made such a deep connection with her eyes. There was no meaning to it, just a nameless recognition that consumed her. Love is the best word I can find for it. It had been split apart, and now it was joined. There was it moving, and then it in the mirror, and then it joined as quickly as it had separated. It was all eyes. The eyes in the mirror were the eyes of it. And it gave itself back as it met again. And that gave it its identity, which I call love. As it looked in the mirror, the eyes, the depth of them, were all that was real, all that existed. Prior to that, nothing, no eyes, no anything, even standing there was nothing. And then the eyes come out to give it what it is. People name things a wall, a ceiling, a foot, a hand. But it had no name for these things because it's indivisible. And it's invisible until the eyes, until the eyes. I remember tears of gratitude pouring down the cheeks as it looked at its own reflection. It stood there staring for I don't know how long. These were the first moments after I was born as it, or it as me. There was nothing left of Katie. There was literally not even a shred of memory of her. No past, no future, not even a present. And in that openness, such joy. There's nothing sweeter than this, I felt. There is nothing but this. If you loved yourself more than anything you could imagine, you would give yourself this. A face, a hand, breath. But that's not enough. A wall, a ceiling, a window, a bed, light bulbs, oh, and this too, and this too, and this too. I felt that if my joy were told, it would blow the roof off the halfway house, off the whole planet. I still feel that way.
Prevent trouble before it arises. Put things in order before they exist.
There's no need to put the world in order. Things are already in order, even before they exist. I walk out onto the street. There are people and cars and dogs and birds and plants and litter. And in this marvelous chaos, there is a beauty that always delights me. It's all for me. It presents itself to me at the perfect moment, exactly as needed. Though walking down the street doesn't seem like a lot to some people, to me, it's a whole world. It's my secret world where I'm always serving everyone and everything as they serve me. There's never a task too great or too small, because the only task to accomplish is the one in front of me. It might appear that there are 1,000 things to do, but in fact, there is never more than one. I live in constant meditation, and if a thought should ever show up as anything less than goodness, I know that it would spill over to other people as confusion, and those other people are me. My job is to enlighten myself to that, and to love the spent rose, the sound of traffic, the litter on the ground, and the litterer who gives me my world. I pick up the litter, do the dishes, sweep the floor, wipe the baby's nose, and question anything that would cost me the awareness of my true nature. There's nothing kinder than nothing. I come home from my walk, make lunch, and as we're eating, Stephen says, "Look, there are ants in the salad." I continue to chew, and I marvel at the balance of life. I never get more or less protein than I need. Before a rain, the ants move into our kitchen. There is a steady trail of them across the stove and the countertop, and my vision was too foggy to see those marvelous little explorers. Later, sitting on the living room couch, I feel ants on my legs, my arms, in my hair. One by one, little massage therapists walking over my pressure points, tickling me, sometimes biting me, but only where needed. And I noticed my hand moving toward my arm, squeezing an ant between my fingers and killing it as quickly as I would want to die myself. It is my own death I am experiencing, and I love death as I love life. My hand moves to my leg and squeezes two little fellows who are traveling up my cat.